Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're with us. I'm glad all of you are with us. I'm Glenn Brooks of Vibrant Living. In any given moment, we could be our vital self, or we could be our counterfeit self, right? Any given moment. And wow, I'm so enthused everybody's in the house or in the room or all of you. So Kai Cole, Kai and I seem to move at the speed of past the speed of thought. I'm happy that you're there, Kai Cole. I would say Kai is an architect, a structural physical architect, which is an architect of awareness and subtlety, and I'm just so honored to have him be my executive producer and such a significant member.
Thank you, Glenn.
Partner. Yeah, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. So vibrancy, we're going to discuss vibrancy today, one of my favorite topics. We're going to actually let the audience feel the vibrancy, kind of let them partake. So they're going to switch out of, you're going to transition from the horizontal to the linear, from the linear and the horizontal to the vertical and the spiralic. Right? It's a little bit of a transition that, I started to unlearn and pay attention to this, and that's kind of how I kind of began my journey. And I was almost like everyone around me was in the content.
Okay, thank you.
If you will, they were paying attention to the clouds, but I felt the sky, like what was around the clouds, always interesting. We're gonna make this a rooted thing. I want to welcome Maureen Clary, who's a wonderful new Vibrant Living team member there in Rhode Island. I'm so happy you're here today with us, Maureen, and you're fulfilling the vision of infinite collaboration, the power of collaboration. We're going to bring the Vibrant Living Summit to Rhode Island and celebrate your publication and connections throughout Rhode Island, the natural awakenings, and you're awoken, so it's good that you're around, because you've got a wake up feel about you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, thanks, Glenn.
Yeah, you're very welcome. We have Miranda who's with us. I told Miranda this today that we play out these different archetypes. And so she's my daughter. She's my daughter. I refer to my other daughter as her sister. And so we're on a learning curve together. It's so interesting how we play out things together. As soon as we could pay attention to it, we could make it a useful thing. And that's where I guess humor. I said to Kai once, I said, well, everything's really about vital rhythmic pulsations. And once you start to live in vital rhythmic pulsation, so Kai called that laughter. So I said, yes, laughter. I like that. I like the simplicity of that, laughter. Ariel, you with us today? Ariel Bonberg?
Yes, sir. I'm Bonberg right here.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Since last week, since you inhabited the studio, wow. You were really cooking last week in the kitchen. You were cooking in the kitchen. Huh?
Thank you. Pleasure.
You know, yeah, you were there. You put your energized yarmulke on, you got your chef's towel around your neck, and you just were popping, cooking. Wow.
Like every time.
Oh, God, you know, I was just thinking the day I graduated. I graduated from, what do they call it? Oh, empowerment, yeah. You know, empowerment and gluten-free, I think they became popular at the same time. You got a car tire or a toilet paper, it was gluten-free, and then it was empowered. It was this particular period of time. I don't know, it was 2002 at 12 a.m. Everybody got hooked on those two things. Both of them sort of seem like thought viruses. Those thought viruses are thoughts we just kind of take on, and they begin to live us rather than we live from a stream of awareness that we turn into action. Why I'm always picking on personal power. Personal power, you could say it's an evolutionary thing. I call it stage six. And stage six is kind of we distinguish ourselves, or we gotta deal with the mechanistic world that kind of seems so impositional. But the only thing that happens if there's a downside or a shadow side of empowerment, it's still about separation. It's not a systems approach. So one of the things that kind of you go from wake up phases. I had one of my wake up phases about 7 or 8 years ago was kind of this relational thing. And I did shows on the relational brain, the relational soul. And I realized that in some ways, empowerment is kind of a facade. It's got to be about relationalness. And that when we actually begin to see each other, in some sense, we summon an aspect of ourselves, this vibrancy. And it's kind of like, when you see it, it amplifies in you and it transfers to them. So the experience of vibrancy is it's a shared experience. I play with it I use different language. So I say, you know, you become unscripted or you get free of the thought viruses. And when you're free of thought viruses, you become in touch with this energy, which is always relational. And when it's relational, it transfers very quick. As an example, we have a new team member. I haven't even introduced you guys yet. This lawyer in Boston, and I was telling him a little story. He's a consumer lawyer, and I was telling him a little story that when I was on in San Francisco, I called the lawyer because my contract was so confusing to me at the station. I couldn't read it, and I called this lawyer. I said, let's do a show. I said, first of all, I want you to be a Vibrant Living team member. I explained what that was, and every time I share it with someone, it's always a little different because life is alive and distinct. It's not one thing. So he went to my website at the time, Vibrant Living Connections, and he says he's a lawyer involved with the San Francisco 49ers, actually. And he says, yeah, I want to be part of this. He goes, I'm in. I said, great. I said, next week on my show, let's discuss integrity, ethics, and contracts, because I'm totally confused by this contract, and it seems like I owe $7,000 that I do, and I don't know what to do about it. So before I got the phone, he says, Glenn, I'll take care of it. Now, the next day I got an email, the $7,000 was gone. I was only supposed to go on the air an hour that week. We made it 2 hours. So I did my last show talking about integrity and contracts and what really matters in your life. What really matters? Is it the contracts or the energy values? So when I do a session with someone, the most relevant thing is that vibrancy and how a person could transfer it. So whether I'm working with a speaker or a writer, it's really being able to transfer that. If everyone around you has some aspect of being a divine distributor, how do you give that personal touch and at the same time relate to the system that's around you? So right now, if you had three people unconditionally support you, energize you, your life would be different. So the Vibrant Living Summit, which is coming to Rhode Island, has three or four components. And Kai, I was going to say jump in. You could dance in, flow in, speak in. As you regularly do, send me a telepathic awareness. Thank you. I wanted to open the four things that occurred to me. I just had these confirmed, by the way, Kai. I just had the things I'm about to say have been Vibrant Living things, but I just had them confirmed by a new team member of ours who's quite the academic, and he told me that he researched these four things, and they're the most significant things in terms of longevity and health maintenance. And they're all Vibrant Living things.
Interesting.
So I was going to... Isn't that wild? So four things. And he says them to me. And he's going to say it to you guys soon. Because we're gonna work with this guy regularly. His first name's Jerry. And Jerry's quite the academic. So here are the four things of Vibrant Living. These are Vibrant Living things. So the first thing is, I'll just go with, and no given order, but they're all connected. They're like, I don't know. It's kind of like when you talk about whether it's, depending on your language in here, whether you talk about the Holy Spirit, God, Spirit, you know, the Dalai Lama says, well, we all share atoms. These three things, out of linear order, they're totally married. And by the way, marriage is the highest energy on the planet. When you're in a conscious marriage, so the marriage principle, like when you desire something in your life and you marry it with someone, or you marry it in spirit or energy, and you live in that marriage, that's the fulfillment principle. When you marry something, so what I mean by that is you desire something, right? You marry it. So in the beginning of it, by the way, the beginning of the miraculous is always agreement. So when you rest in agreement with someone, that's the marriage. And what happens is people say, well, I got married and things didn't work out. Well, you need to get married to level with the marriage is an energy agreement. And you live in that and breathe in that. And so your marriage becomes we go from thought viruses, or you could say living off the tracks, so we come back on the tracks together. And that's why I couldn't do this alone. There's no way on earth I could do this alone. You know, I'm not going to say who this guy is, but he put to 75,000 people. I'm going to walk through a windy period here. He put 75,000 people through this training. And it's just very, you would know the training if I said it, but he said to me one day, he says, you know, I did a disservice. And I said, what happened? He says, well, because all these people got in power and a whole bunch of people got divorced. And he said to me that day, he goes, I went from teaching people all about empowerment. Now he goes, well, I'll give you a secret. His new website is called We Need Each Other. We need each other. We need each other. We do. So the vibrant living, the three things I'm going to share with you. So the first thing is we need to become in some way a significant contributor. You know, when I was growing up and I was like in my teens, no one ever told me to be a significant contributor. No one ever said that. They said to me, get a job. That was the mantra in my household. I want to ask you guys, what was the mantra in your household? Mine was, let's see, get a job. Get a job. That was a big mantra. Don't drop stuff at the kitchen table because it would disturb my father. I think some of the mantras are unspoken. These are the laws of my household. So there was get a job. I want to hear your mantras. Tell me what you guys grew up with. What were the thought viruses that you noticed in your household?
I feel like a lot of mantras are also vibrational. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
It's like we're influenced mostly by, not by our parents' words, but by how they feel. You know, because we're always absorbing an influence. I feel like most people are raised through vibration. This is a feeling universe.
Well, another way to say that, I want to ask the panel here, our vibrant panel. My father never said to me, going to work is exhausting, draining, and you need anti-anxiety medication. He never told me that. He never said, work's exhausting, draining, and you need anti-anxiety medication. What he did was he laid in bed and was exhausted. And he seemed really smart to me. He seemed really smart. So it was confusing of so-and-so smart to have that experience. Now, how I discovered vibrancy is there was people on my paper route I could feel this different quality from, and I would engage them on that. But yeah, so to be around people and to feel their vibrancy and to that's the whole purpose of vibrant living. That's the vibrant living mastery. That's our, you know, that's our vibrant speakers. I was going to have someone on today. Actually, I told her to have lunch. I was going to have Dr. Kay Klemmer on today because I wanted to discuss her speaking mission. She's going to come speak in Rhode Island. She does something called biodynamic cranial, which is wondrous work. And one of the things you learn in biodynamic cranial is you learn relational restoration. And so what that means is you learn to harmonize your breath together. You know, in this culture, most people, their adrenals are pretty drained. But if you take time, you stay with your partner, and you rest and nest together, and one of the ways to do that is to hold each other's heart. So what you do is you got to get a feel for touch. You touch people before you touch them physically. And once you start to get aware of touch and you hold each other's heart, you start to develop a different breathing pattern. So at all the Vibrant Living things, one of the big ideas, and I learned this from my beloved teacher, Dr. Norm Shirley, is we want to become congruent, coherent together. Because then we're in a different quality of interaction, and there's a resonance, if you will. That's why a lot of my work, people tell me I'm like a conductor, because I'm conducting and sensing that quality of interaction. So yeah, Miranda, I would say a lot of what I learned, like for instance, when I went to school, as incredibly unpleasant as that was, it was the nonverbal part. I felt the teachers didn't want to be there in many cases. So I felt the non-vibrancy, and the vibrancy I felt when I went to the woods or I went to the farm stand. And the question was, until I read Mark Twain, and Mark Twain, when I was 17 or 18, Mark Twain said something that I dedicated Vibrant Living to. It was a Vibrant Living thing. He said, true success is turning your vocation into your vacation. And that made total sense to me. Everything else didn't make sense. So vibrancy is a sensation that you feel in your body, right? Vibrancy is a sensation you feel in your body. And to amplify that sensation or make it more aware, that's the relational component. So on our Vibrant Living team, the idea is we breathe together, which in Hawaiian they call the ohana. We could call it the vibrant breath, because I like saying vibrant all the time. And we amplify that because we agree. So as an example with Ariel, and I'll say his last name because I like saying it, Thornburg, or Kai, or Miranda, because we agree, there's moments where these thought viruses distract us. And when we get distracted, it looks like our spirits drop. And I had this wonderful conversation the other day. I want to share with you about vibrancy in the mind with a psychiatrist. Oh, my God, could you believe that music's coming on? I wish you guys, are you guys feeling the energy today with us during this vibration? We're going to continue with the whole Vibrant Living team. Nicole, Moran. Maureen, thank you, Ariel. Ariel, whose vibrancy is stronger by the moment. Maureen Clary from Natural Awakening. Stay with us. Your life precious. Enjoy more vibrant interaction in a moment.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Vibrant Living Again. I'm Glenn Brooks, live today. You're live today. Ariel Bonberg, Kai Cole, Miranda Green. Miranda Green is such an easy name to say. Maureen Clary, Natural Awakenings. You know, Kai, I just want to acknowledge that Ariel said something last week, and I, you know, it was so alive. It's just, we get living wisdom or vibrancy is so awakening. So Ariel said last week about how that, in some sense, the thing that really seems like such an obstacle is such a gift, you know, whether it's our physical health or our, we have a spiritual meltdown. Well, I'm excited to be here, Kai. I just want you to, I want you to sing to the audience. I want to hear your voice today, and I want you to share. I want to say, I think at 4 o'clock you texted me yesterday, and I felt this upliftment, and it just it moved me so deeply that I got that, you sent me that message yesterday. So I want to tell you that, yes, I always feel your messages, and when they come, it's just a confirmation in such a good way. So thank you.
You're welcome. I did want to comment on these mantras, you know, that float around our households. And yes. Also, I would love to hear what Ariel and Miranda and Maureen have to say about this one. So one of
Absolutely.
My favorites growing up was, don't do as I do, do as I say.
I like that one. That's confusing as heck, isn't it? Yeah, I like that one.
Contradicting, I think.
How does that impact you? How does it impact you?
It definitely created, it was almost like instant enlightenment. It put me right in the observer mode for everything.
So let me see. Let's say it again. Say it again. I like, okay. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. Was that it?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's a heavy, that's a schizophrenic one. I like that one. That's powerful. I mean, did they say that to you when they're disturbed or angry, or that was, they always said it? They
yeah,
always sang
it.
You know, they didn't say it.
Running line.
Right. Right. My father said you would test the patience of a saint. That was one of his mantras to me. All right, Maureen. What's
yeah.
one of the, what happened with you growing up? What did you hear in your household?
We weren't allowed to say shut. That was just not a way that you talk to people, that it was more focused on just overall kindness and being civilized and using the word shut up was just too harsh. I was never allowed to say that to my brother, no matter how much he annoyed me.
So what did you take away from that? How did that impact you? What's your take on that?
I think it's a good way to be. I think that it's true. Telling someone to shut up—that's just a really harsh way of being, to communicate to them that they have no value and no words that are worth hearing.
Did you ever find, Maureen, the paradox? Did you ever tell anybody to shut up and you thought it was a good thing?
I really feel that there were very few times that I've ever abused those words. Even maybe in jest, I don't think I have. It just wasn't done. It just wasn't done.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Maureen, one time I... So it wasn't done. Okay, so pretty much that altered, that really was impactful for you, and you think mostly in a good way.
Yes, yeah, I do. I think it's civilized to not speak to people in that way.
Right.
And it doesn't matter
if
it's your brother or your spouse or your partner or your co-worker. Just kindness and decency and those sorts of things that come up with it.
Yeah, Mr. Chung didn't say shut up to me in music class. He put my body against the locker and threatened me. But he didn't say shut up to me. But it was threatening. Yeah, no, that's interesting. You know, I think it's really, there was a guy at Harvard who wrote this book called You Are What You Say. You Are What You Say. And there was a time when I would be so meticulous about my language. I still am. But I remember every time one of my kids were in the car, we would take a trip, I would never say dead end. I'd always say, we're going to turn around, there's a live end coming up. Because I decided to give up all death is language. And my children, of course, thought this hilarious. Both my children were comedians. Of course, they used to tease me endlessly about my languaging of things. But I realize that when you language things, I'll give an example. One of my clients, Debbie Lindquist, is a oncologist, was getting surgery on her hip. And she noticed that when she called it that hip, it changed her relationship to her hip. It was that hip or the hip, I think it was that. Oh, I'm sorry, this or that. It was the this or that exercise. So she wrote this article, this or that, and we had this incredible conversation because she wouldn't let the surgeon do surgery until he changed his language around her hip. Because he came in and said to her, this procedure has a high incidence of infection. And she says, let's cancel the operation until we can relanguage and have a different vision, a vibrant vision, our favorite word today, of the outcome. And let's start from seeing the outcome so there's robust health there. In my household, another thing, so with conscience, you do what I say, don't do what I do. Yeah, in my household, there was a lot of nonverbal things. A lot of it's nonverbal, right? That's interesting. That really impacted you, that one, but don't say shut up. Yeah, I think the worst one, and we'll get Don Berg and Miranda, I think being an entrepreneur, being a vibrant entrepreneur, to go back to those principles of vibrant living. So one principle is social engagement, robust relationalness, knowing that people totally cover you back day and night. Who are three people you can call at 3 a.m? And there, I had a guy, I called him at 3 a.m, Max. And when I called him at 3 a.m, the first thing he said to me, he goes, thank you for taking up on my offer. I was going through a very intense period of my life. And he said, Glenn, anytime you need to call, call. And he thanked me. He was in Los Angeles. And I remember him thanking me, and I remember just feeling, it was so, I don't know, it was sort of profound during that period of my life that he was there for me and there for us in that way. So social engagement or relationalness is enough to change your immune system and your intelligence. That's why books, you know, such as Never Eat Lunch Alone, you never want to eat lunch alone. You really want to be around people that don't just not say no to you or shut up, but that really don't want to get into some concurrence or yes. So the social engagement is huge. This is what this researcher found in terms of particularly health past 75 in terms of, like, the quality of life. So, and then, movement, vibrant movement. So we have relationalness, we have social engagement, the entrepreneur piece, vibrant entrepreneurs. So the first time I got paid for being who I was, and now we call it being who we are together, because the relational component changes everything. I gave a talk in upstate New York. When I was 19, I gave a talk to this group of people in the 90s, 80s, and a couple of people over 100. And I talked to them about the life of Dr. Norman Walker, who was one of my teachers at the time. And Norman Walker was supposed to be like 110. Here I am, I'm 19, I'm telling these people who had so much wisdom. But when I left that day, someone put $10 in my pocket, and he says, "Gonna keep expressing this method." That was my most significant family moment, I think, my non-family moment. I was on a path, of a solo path of empowerment up until I saw beyond that. And I know it well. I want to say I know the empowerment world well because I was in that world until I stepped into the relational power world. So languaging, how it impacts us and how it impacts our vibrancy. Wow. All right, let's go to Ariel Bonberg and then we'll circle back to Kai, circle back to Miranda. We'll do a couple of vibrant rounds. Let's go to, I guess, Ariel Bonberg.
I had some similar ones, like what Kai said and Maureen said.
Yeah.
We had some of those mantras,
yeah.
But I think for us,
yes.
The number one mantra for us was, think good and it will be good.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Meaning that, you know, obviously, like we always speak about how things happen in life. And, especially this mantra really is for my mom mostly, and I can also definitely attribute to my dad a lot, that, you know, they always tell us, no matter what happens or whatever you're dealing with, you know, just do the best you can. Just take it as positively as possible. And through that positivity, you know, will help to change your experience and your approach and your dealing with a certain challenge or issue or whatever it is you're facing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that really stuck with me for the long run.
So think good and it will be good. Think good and it will be good.
Think? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Vibrancy in a nutshell, no?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I kind of like that one. I was reading there's a book called, it was called Worry Sick, but he was talking about different cultures and worry. You know, and so it turns out Jewish people worry a lot more. That's a really good one, by the way. So I think it'll be good. I like the focus of that. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's I think the other thing that happened was, and I told the story. There was a party actually Kai was going to be at. I thought she was going to be at. And I have this friend in New York. And, I realize that sometimes I'm so on the outside that I forget that I'm on the outside. I'm kind of used to being on the outside. And the black sheep or the. And I kind of, so I was talking to our mutual family member, Melissa. And Melissa said, hey, there's this party in Great Neck, right? And I said, well, I joked to her. I said, well, I told her anything, I was going to rather go to the party. And she said, well, I know what it is. I said to her about the party. I said, if I don't go, all the women would cry if I don't go. And then she said, yes, they would. And then I just totally melted down. I realized, wow, sometimes I realize that I'm in this place where a thought virus is sometimes we don't see it. So when we see it, our body will change and our breath will change. So how I always work with people is it's a rhythm at their breath, and it's a recognition of what I would call a thought virus. And so my thought virus was that I kind of was in a certain mode, but I realized what I would like, I really prefer to have a deep connection. But sometimes I distinguish myself so I don't have to go through pain. So to experience, you know, that joining, which is the film that I'm working on now, The Announcement, which is all about this couple that remarries. But it's a lot about dissolving thought viruses and how that shifts our body. And what's the thing, what are you most curious about today, Kai?
I'm curious where you are in the world. You do so much traveling and driving. I'm so curious where you are today.
it's kind of boring, actually. It's kind of boring today, Kai. I'm actually at Whole Foods as I speak to you. And this morning, I biked, I don't know, maybe 7 miles this morning. And it's very beautiful. And when I'm on the bike trail, there's these vibrant moments. I love those moments in the day where I see someone and we see each other. And those are like little miracles, those little moments of seeing. And so yesterday, where I was yesterday, I was up in Vermont. I have a mechanic up there. I go visit him and his wife on the most beautiful piece of property. And I call it the Saab Barbershop because it's like a barbershop. Because everyone who goes there, we all have these old Saabs. And we just enjoy talking about this unusual car that was made in Sweden. And I said to myself, you know, I was really excited about Maureen and about the Vibrant Living Summit. And I just had this wave of energy about the Vibrant Film Festival and about this idea that what it takes to share vibrancy, because when we see it, it's so unusual when we experience it, you know, because the thought virus for a lot of people is that they degenerate. So where am I now? I'm at Whole Foods with some other people. They haven't introduced themselves to me yet. I'm sure that I'm aware that I'm doing a broadcast right now. You know, I want to do this class. I guess what it is, every day, each moment, I feel there's this big opportunity to be on this path of action together. And I want to bring people on the inside of it because it's so unusual and wondrous when we actually live in concurrence and we're able to demonstrate something that most people would consider impossible. And that's why I developed the Vibrant Living Mastery Challenge, because I love the relational journey to that. My vision for that is that people are at the base of the mountain together, but as they ascend the mountain and they see together and they actually become aware of the vibrant, if you will, the vibrant sensation of other people. That's kind of like this, that's where the whole relational piece is so significant. And that's why when Ariel said last week about the gift, if you will, of the blessing of adversity, you know, it strikes home because, I mean, when I went to what I call this relational tsunami, this is a big response to your comment about where I am right now, but I guess this, when I went to the relational tsunami, at first, I couldn't really see colors anymore. I really felt an impact in my life, and it took a while to see the other side of it. And when the other side of it came through, the other side of the tail came through, I felt another level of my work, and I felt, obviously, my relationship, I met you, I met Ariel and Miranda. So if anybody's listening and you're going through a tsunami of some sort, I want to encourage you to exhale and be willing to let go of those images and see what's there beyond the images or the thought viruses and make that a daily practice.
I have a question.
Daily practice of, yeah.
I was thinking about just what you're talking about, the other side of the relational tsunami, and it came across my mind, but how do you hold space for someone who's going through a relational tsunami without getting sucked in yourself? Who did you have around you at that time, and how were they able to do that for you?
It's such a deep question. You know what's really unusual about this? The first day of the tsunami for me, the first like 90 days, I could barely function. I remember on Father's Day, I took everything to stand up. There are a few people that came in my life that I didn't know them, but they came in my life and they gave me exercises and they gave me presents. And we'll continue with that wonderful question. I want to hear from you guys too, Maureen and Ariel, and that's a beautiful question that we need to ask and share. Awful question. Stay with us for Vibrant Living Network. More to come. Blessings to you.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Vibrant Living. I'm Glenn Brooks. In each vibrant moment, we could go beyond our thought virus and we could become more vibrantly connected, renewed, aware. You know, here we are with Kai Cole, my wonderful executive producer. We're going to be speaking together soon. I'm excited to get that confirmation from Harvard, Kai. I love the imagery and energy that your vision of us are talking at the Momentous Conference. It's one of the biggest conferences in the world on the impact of movement, on cognition, the brain, and our lives. You know what's funny is when you ask me that question, so when I was at the height of my tsunami, I was with my daughter, and I was also doing a radio show in Seattle, and I realized my identity was so disrupted in a sense, but I wanted to hang out with my daughter, so we went to Rhode Island, And even though I tell people to use aspirantium as an internal antioxidant that will prevent burning, I wasn't on any, I didn't take aspirantium, and I got the worst burn of my life. So I go to Rhode Island, I come back home, I remember my daughter was doing a tag sale, and I was just, I mean, my daughter's always, I used to call my daughter, still do, kind of my heart chakra on wheels, even though I tell Miranda she's also my daughter. So I was so badly burned physically, but the physical burn was reminding me the intense burn I felt. I felt like I lost, when I lost my wife, I felt like I lost the goddess in my universe, and it was, and on some level, the tsunami, yeah, when you're asking me such a, I guess each day, each moment, things would occur in the day, little openings, you know. That's such a good question. I did a tape called Her Beautiful Face, which, where can people find Her Beautiful Face? Because I talk a little bit about some things, about how couples can help each other through tsunamis. So people could listen to that. I was sharing a little bit about how that when we're diagnosed, we have something we're going through, we can kind of be there. So holding space. So I call it relational space. And relational space, I guess part of what helped me a lot, Kai, Maureen and Miranda Bonberg, was... you know, just simple, I guess simple practices. I went, actually, you guys know, I'm going to tell you, you know, who's a very close friend of mine. He's very famous now. His name's Anthony Williams. Anthony, you know who Anthony Williams is, anybody? Anthony Williams? He's written a few books on the New York Times bestseller. I knew Anthony, but no one knew who he was. But he called me up one day, and he said something to me, Kai, that really helped me. And maybe this will help some people. But he told me that day, he told me a lot of things, but he said to me, he says, go to the woods. Stop meditating and take B12, because he says when you, anytime you go through a shock, your B12 gets depleted. So I think that helped, and I went to the woods, and I just focused on vibrancy, and I guess going back to what Ariel said last week, I kind of allowed the process of the tsunami to move through me. I remember one day one of the people I was working with told me that my grief would lift in a year, and I remember it was a year later, and I joked to him. I said, "Well, it's been a year. My grief should be gone." But then I learned about heartbreak. So I gave a talk that a lot of people have watched on heartbreak and how heartbreak underlies all illness and disruption. So I guess you could say it was an unwelcome gift of tsunami, and it's allowed me to deepen my relationships. But certainly, when I was going through it, I didn't have any answers about it, and. And this is a beautiful thing, to be around people, to be in communion, where you can have a path of action and also appreciate the wonder and beauty of having a life where you can be underwhelmed enough to kind of integrate things in your experience. So I think part of what it was is the appreciation that I was going through it, even though I didn't want to go through it, and allowing that to deepen my relationship. Because what I found in my life is that when I would go through massive challenges, it put me in a different relationship with people. It put my attention, it put me in a place, like I talked to, I just put me in a place where I could get into a very different relationship to people almost instantly. So there's no one answer. I guess I appreciate that it's an ongoing thing. And I think tsunamis, I think most people don't so-called move on. I think they push on. And they overdrive. So I think allowing this process and allowing people, you know, Teshna, who was on a couple of weeks ago, she was amazing. I went to see, I drove almost 5.5 hours to see her because I allowed myself, you know, when I went to see her, she asked me if I was, she would test my body from 1 to 1,000. It was all thousands, you know, and then she would quit. I think it was the process of appreciating that it's a process helped me to move through the tsunami and make it. Because it, in some sense, the vision for the Vibrant Living Network and working with hosts and speakers moved my being. It moved the vibrancy in me. But there's no one answer. And I think the beauty of being in a group with it focuses on momentum and vibrant vision and the Vibrant Living Summit, in an environment to explore this together. No one answer. Which is kind of, honestly, that's what a lot of my coaching sessions are like. People come and we just sort of notice the oblivious obvious. We sort of notice when clients come, we notice where they're sitting, how they're breathing, just simple stuff, and just sort of like let the adjustments to be part of that part of life. I want to say, Murphy, when I first met you, I really felt with you, I loved your journey, and it meant a lot to me kind of because I thought you made some significant changes in your life from being a banker to taking something in your life that had meaning and at the same time would socially potentially disrupt your friends. The other thing that I study a lot of social structures and social, how our social network impacts us. So I'm always, you know, one of the things I learned from Bernie Siegel was that the people who don't die from cancer often, the ones that are the exceptional patients, are the ones that are very disruptive at the hospitals. They don't die as a conformist. So I'm always, it's an interesting thing in the system. So when I listen to your story, Maury, because you're such a kind person, I thought it was interesting how you kind of transitioned from banking, and then you got kind of diagnosed with MS, and you just seem, it seems to me, you kind of integrate things. What can we learn from you? That's what I want to ask. What can we learn from you?
I don't know is that I could answer that question. I don't think there's a succinct answer. There's no one right or wrong or one thing, and everyone's path is different, and everyone's journey. It's, you know, be a good person would be about, and good things will happen. It would be about the best that I would come up with, I think. I was very blessed to have a wonderful upbringing that I was taught, you know, good values, and even if I didn't always embrace them throughout my life, I certainly came to recognize the wisdom of living in a kind, civilized world.
So have I quoted Albert Einstein, who said the most relevant question is, is the universe a friendly place to be? What would you say?
I think it's what you make it. If you're looking for trouble, if you go expecting people to be mean and angry and do the evil things, then that's what you're going to find. If you're expecting it to be a kind world, then that's what you're going to look for.
You know, I want to say someone was very practical with me around this. Several months ago, something happened with my car, and this guy drove me to the radio station. And he said, by the way, are you an axe murderer? And I said, no. And he said, I'll give you a ride then. So I thought that was very practical to ask the question, you know what I mean? Some people don't ask the question, and they don't give you a ride then, you know?
And then they're surprised.
Exactly. Then you're on the news at 3 a.m, you know? Yeah, I think asking the question was helpful. I had to check in with myself. When are you an expert? I said, no. And he seemed very relieved and happy to give me a ride then. So, all right. So what are you excited about having? You know, I feel like I'm sharing a very deep vision with you about coming to Rhode Island. I've had some really profound experiences in Rhode Island, including Johnny, who runs the parking lot at Watch Hill, who always is so happy to see me, even though it's been infrequently. I always go, I say, Johnny, it's Glenn from Vibrant Travel, and he immediately gets me in my space. You know, I mean, I kind of feel with some people, it's just, boy, some people can really, in one moment, just really show you, kind of allow you to experience the goodness of life. What's your vision about the Vibrant Living Summit? What turns you on about the idea, about the experience? I want to ask you that because you're like a deep inside partner that I'm unfolding this with on these invisible levels. So there you go.
I think some of the connections that you have and some of the people that you would bring to the table, to the party, if you will, I think that
I'm
looking forward to some of the speakers and the different folks that you will be, you know, letting know about what's happening in Rhode Island. I think that's big.
I do, too. It's really you, though. It's really the fact we agreed, and that was the beginning of the miraculous. And I had the food program in Rhode Island. You see, what do they call that? The farm program, the sustainable agriculture program, is out of this world. What do they call that in Rhode Island? They have a name for it? I know they have a name for it. I'm not getting the name, but they have a name.
The CSA?
Yeah.
Community Supported Agriculture? Yes.
We had one program that was just incredibly impressive where they did a lot of great stuff. Kai, what are you excited about Rhode Island? Rhode Island. We're going to be in Rhode Island with Maureen and all these incredible people in Rhode Island. We'll bring people. I already have speakers coming in from out of the area. I'm so eager to meet people. I want to marry a whole bunch of people in Rhode Island, by the way. I want to stop the singleness, as you call it, Maureen, the singleness epidemic in Rhode Island. We want to stop that.
I'm really, really looking forward to being in this different geographic region. One of my fondest memories growing up was of the Breakers.
Yeah.
And
oh, wow.
If Rhode Island, well, not if, it does. Rhode Island definitely carries a lot of prestigious vibes. So I can only imagine how that's going to affect the way that we deliver the messages that we're looking to deliver. Our audience, I have a feeling, is just going to have this whole other level of prestige and reverence, which I'm so looking forward to.
So I think, Kai, what we learned today from Maureen is we won't say shut up to anybody in Rhode Island. That's what I learned.
or anywhere else,
God.
I hope.
By the way, I love that you called it a party. It really is. It really, the imagery of a party is definitely something I resonate with. And I've had some profound experience. There's something in Newport called the Cliff Walk, which is absolutely gorgeous. I've been on the Cliff Walks. I've been to different inns, and I'm a fan. I don't know. I love Rhode Island. You know, of course, the big news is always the Cape. But it's cold, and you gotta be in traffic 17 hours. So I'm a fan of Rhode Island. I don't like the 17 hours of traffic, one way in, one way out. It kind of brings up massive claustrophobia for me. So, Kai, I'm going to give you the vibrant stick here for a moment. What's something that we should leave with the audience to share that we haven't, that you think is a good idea?
That's a really good question. We've covered the Mastery Challenge. We've covered the Summit. We've covered the announcement. Would you like to talk a little bit more about being a vibrant host, Glenn?
Yes. I also want to bring up briefly, and we'll get into this on another show, is that Ariel has decided to have a second bar mitzvah at 27. So I think that's something we should bring up on the next show. Yeah, the vibrant living host thing. He's excited as we are. So the vibrant living host thing. So... yeah, so imagine, if you will, beyond radio, imagine having a position where you could open up a whole new world of connections, you could travel, and here's the interesting thing about being a vibrant host, is it's a community of people, the vibrant hosts, are all unfolding another level of vision together, so we have relational intelligence together. You'll be on the air, but not just on the air. We have a meeting every week. So the versatility and fluidity is, I've had people become hosts where, I mean, I have this one guy, he actually made me a list of, he made me sort of a list of celebrities that he wanted to meet. I think he met like 7 out of 10. So the vibrant host position on the Vibrant Living Network allows you to not just have a whole new world of connections, but be able to demonstrate things in a group, your co-host, to bring this to a whole new level. So we hand the baton to each other. So if you're a game changer, you're a wellness entrepreneur, you consider yourself a healer, you consider yourself an author, and you really want to energize your voice and find a new voice in your body and be in a body of other people interested in vibrancy and understand that as a team, we can bring this to a whole other level, because part of what we're discovering together as Vibrant Hosts is how to bring that message to a new level. So if you want to write a book, if you want to be an international speaker, because all our hosts will be Vibrant speakers, is there anything else I'm forgetting? I think what it is when we get together and we meet and we have a high vision together, when we stabilize that together, we can bridge in a world together, and plus you can reach a whole new market share. I don't know what to say. I think it's out of this world. I mean, so right now, your move to have another level of being able to connect, and of course, I've had many people build their businesses, and not just build their businesses, but I'll quote Tatiana, who said to me, she felt like a prostitute to marketing, and now she feels that she's able to. She's in Malaysia, by the way. So anywhere you are in the world, and you want a one-of-a-kind environment to communicate, discover your message, bring it to a new level, impact people, being a vibrant host is I would recommend to you very highly. And plus, you're going to meet some really good. You're going to meet people like Kai, which is well worth the train ride, whatever it is. How was that, Kai?
Perfect.
That was my
Bravo.
Snippet. Okay. And then I guess we'll get into Ariel's bat mitzvah next week. He's excited. I want to thank Miranda Green. We're gonna get Miranda back on. We want her to talk more, but she's a special mission. I want to thank Ariel Bonberg, the James Bond of holistic health, Maureen Clary, who's just such a sweetheart. Thank you for being who you are, Maureen. I want to thank Chris at Own Times Radio. And I appreciate you guys. All the people that say you're going to listen to my show, thanks for being part of the Vibrant Living family. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. And if you want to work with me as a coach to be a host, call 413-345-3747, 413-345-3747. Don't let thought virus restrict you. Enjoy the vibrancy of life. Your life's precious. Thank you.